We're the Night Shift Bandits. Join us and our sister podcast, Perspective Discussions, where they talk about love, life, and relationships on any platform that you can find podcasts. Also, like, comment, share, and subscribe to our YouTube channel. We also have a Twitch channel, and you can donate to us on our GoFundMe and Patreon, where you can help us bring you better content. Our link tree is down in the description. Thanks for joining us.
Imagine your past, everything you did, everything you experienced. First kiss, first boob touch, first misdemeanor, first breakup. Crazy, easy times, right? So many things you could talk about, so many things you miss, so many things you loved experiencing and keep thinking about every day. Sometimes we all just want to go back to the days where things made the most sense and you smiled the most. That's why it's called the past, because they're gone. Ladies and gentlemen, come join us all today on the Night Shift Bandits, where we talk about possibly one of the most beautiful and interesting mangas that's trending right now by author Jun Miyazaki. Or was it Miyazuki? Miyazuki, I think. See, now I'm already messing up. It's all your fault, Zach.
So I control your mouth. Kind of walked into that, Pinocchio.
Just a little bit.
Ain't no lies gonna save this P.
Good shout out.
Damn. But yeah, we're gonna be talking about a manga called Kowloon Generic Romance, and I promise. So, I mean, you guys don't really know much about it as I do, but before we get into that, here we go once again. Night Shift Bandits are punching in the clock for this podcast, starting us off with...
It's me here, your professor, Zach.
Master honored, Thomas.
And of course, once again, I am Bri, the cool guy. Thank you all for tuning in.
The coolest guy around.
I try. So...
So cool, Sub-Zero's jealous.
This is a little section that I have to call Konbini Kona, where I get to talk about anime shit and be a weeb eve for an hour, and you have to listen to me. We're gonna have a good time. Today I wanted to talk about a manga that I've been reading for a while. It's by June. Forgive me if I keep mispronouncing the name here. It always escapes my mind.
But why you do that? To get my initials, because I read the first few chapters, and the art is very beautiful.
Yeah, the artwork is. Jun Miyazaki. I am very sorry.
Yeah, and it's very elegant, and it's nice to look at. Like, it's pretty.
Yeah, like
very pretty much.
She has some. Miyazaki is just her artwork is really amazing. She won several awards back in 2014 through 2016 through her work, for some of her other works. Another work I want to try reading, Shoujo, isn't really my cup of tea, but this one really just hit so much differently, and it goes so much. So, like, just out of curiosity, how far did you guys get in the manga?
I think I got about 2 chapters in. I've had a very busy time, and it is a very slow burn.
Very slow burn.
Very slow. It's very, the plot really does take time to thicken.
Yeah, I got at least the 7 or 8, but I know, like, some further details beyond that, to an extent. So I'm kind of like, I have a little bit of knowledge here.
Okay. Yeah, I try to not go out too far ahead.
Yeah.
But
I want to try my best to not spoil as much as possibly, which is something we tend to tragically do on this podcast.
We do give warnings.
We do give the warnings.
We do give
the warnings, but I'm going to try to avoid completely the overall spoilers because this manga is still ongoing.
And we're going we're still gonna do something interesting.
Yeah.
I'm not going to describe it, but I might do this a little bit, but mainly Thomas. He's gonna try to connect the dots.
Yes. I'm gonna go in and connect the dots, essentially blind to this whole situation, yes. No pun intended.
Okay.
And like I'll join him along the way.
There will be some minor spoilers of the two main characters.
Yes.
And we're just gonna go from here. So starting off.
Wait. This is still continuing, right? You said that, right?
Yeah, this is ongoing.
Okay.
So I can at very least talk about the two main characters.
Okay.
Or the ones that start anyway. So basically, Kowloon generic romance is set basically around the 21st century in Hong Kong, where in an alternate timeline, Kowloon Walled City did not disappear. Now, for the big brief history lesson here, those of you who don't know, Kowloon Walled City is, of course, a very famous site in pop culture these days. There's a Chinese manga or manhwa named City of Darkness, which is one of its nicknames. Essentially, it was just a massive slum off the Kowloon Bay part of Hong Kong's main area. I can't form proper words right now. And it was just this big vertical slum, you know, buildings building up around it over many years, probably since the Sino-Japanese Wars, I think. And
that does sound very familiar.
Especially around the time when it was first getting erected, it was when Mao Zedong took over China, so a lot of people just fled to Hong Kong, hoping for asylum from the British. And there's a lot of other foreigners coming in general. A lot of those people, I guess, started to congregate there. You know, all the crooks, bums, and thieves just started gathering there for years and years, and that's just something that's always been happening. And then it became this awful slum. And, a lot of known stereotypes are born from there, blah, blah, blah. But really, when you just hearing the name Kowloon Generic Romance and hearing about Kowloon Walled City, for those of you who may not know it or those of you who do know it, it does create a very strong theme that is within the manga, and that is nostalgia. Like, just hearing Hong Kong, you can't help but feel somewhat nostalgic when you hear it.
Yeah, whenever I hear Hong Kong or really anything Chinese, I think of kung fu movies.
Exactly. Hong Kong is where all those movies were shot.
Yeah.
Bruce Lee.
I think of
Gordon Liu.
I think of Rush Hour.
Which was Rush Hour kind of a kung fu movie.
No. Jackie Chan's on that on my list too. On my list too.
Actually, do go to Hong Kong.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's a very big thing when you think of Hong Kong. Yeah, it gives you a very nostalgic vibe. And I think that's why it's so easy to get wrapped up in this one, at least for me. I always grew up watching kung fu movies with my dad. Well, he was also doing martial arts, so.
Yeah, I grew up watching it with my mom and then doing martial arts myself, so.
Now, sadly, kung fu has nothing to do with this. We'll get a bit in here. So, once again, getting back to it, Kowloon Generic Romance set in the 21st century in an alternate timeline where Kowloon Walled City still exists. And it stars two people working at a small real estate agency within the walled city because, you know, the economy there is it's kind of self-driven. Again, for those of you who know, if you know about it, you know.
It works. Don't do some research.
Research Kowloon Walled City. Whole articles, whole videos. Synopsis, whole videos, all over. Yeah. Great little history lesson.
Yep.
And so those people are Reiko Kujirai, just a young, she's like our age. She's 32.
Yeah.
And the two of them, wow, I'm losing track here, sorry guys.
But the two of them, they work together.
We didn't introduce the other one.
Yeah.
And the real estate agency is, and then after that you have, Hajime Kuga? Yeah, his name is Hajime. And he's just another guy who works there as his senior. And the two of them have that whole office romance thing budding. Or do they?
Okay.
You know, Reiko's basically an extrovert. She's always going around trying new stuff up around on the walled city and the shopping center and stuff. And then you have Hajime, who's just being a boomer, basically.
Oh, he doesn't want to change at all?
He doesn't like to change. He always gets some of the same stuff. He's always playing Mahjong with the old dudes.
And always yelling at them.
And always yelling at them and everyone else. Being a general loudmouth dumbass.
All right.
So from here on, like, what do you think? What are you thinking so far, Thomas?
So far, I'm thinking that it's just a normal story about slice of life stuff. So, hey, I'm just going to work. These are just events that happen during work.
Yeah, like literally, that's how it starts off.
Exactly.
Slice of life. Like, okay. Just they go out, like the two main characters, they go out for like lunch, buy each other lunch.
Yeah, they buy each other lunch.
One of the girls, what was the lady's name? I'm sorry.
Reiko.
Reiko. One of Reiko's favorite things to do is to smoke, and of course, eat watermelon.
Yes. Yeah. She likes to. That's one of her things. She likes to smoke and eat watermelon.
Yeah.
Like, she just does that.
I don't understand that, but okay.
Apparently, the cigarette tastes better.
So she just wants watermelon flavored cigarettes.
It's a thing.
Okay.
It's part of the whole overarching theme of nostalgia, I guess, because like that's just what she likes to do.
Yeah.
She doesn't have an explanation as to why. Same like with how Hajime likes to freaking.
Yeah, like it's the thing with nostalgia is always is very fascinating because I feel like it seeps through the manga itself. Like this a mood is set. And yeah, hints to like certain things from the past.
Exactly. It's like when you hear Calvin Wall City, you just feel familiarity.
Right. Like you think like literally from like the city itself, which is its own character.
Yes, it really is.
And again, the art is very beautiful because it can get very detailed.
It gets super detailed and environment wise.
Yeah, I did see just in the first couple of issues there was a lot of detail and art stylings of
I think they really did a good job capturing it.
Yeah, they did. Because it feels cramped, it feels closed, it feels like you can't run into a pipe at any point in time.
Exactly. Yeah, it's all tight, everyone's jostling together, but they're living their lives every day.
Yeah.
It's a strange, familiar feeling.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All the time. Like especially in the first, at least in the first 12, 15 chapters, you're just getting hit with that. And then then other things happen in front of it. I will not say what. But you know, you have Reiko and then you have Hajime.
Okay.
And Hajime, he's just...
He's a bit of a hothead.
He's very hot-headed. He is that typical old school 80s anime guy.
Yeah.
He's like the hot-headed teacher, like.
Hot-headed teacher, like he's the guy who on his spare time he goes to the adult theater.
Yeah. Exactly. He's that guy.
He's Kakashi if he was angry.
Yes.
Not even angry, just a bit more goofy.
Loudmouth
goofy.
He's just so loudmouth. He's a big talker.
Jiraiya.
Yeah, yes. Except less of the perv.
Because
Jiraiya was pervy at any point in time.
Yeah.
He's more like what most people do. I keep that on the side. Okay. Like, yeah, I might say that I do it, but it's not my whole character.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so he sounds like an interesting guy.
He's a guy. I see him as a guy.
Yeah,
he's just a guy.
He's just a guy.
Exactly.
And he gets it.
Yeah, exactly.
He gets it.
Okay.
He has a sash that says he gets it.
What? A sash that says that?
Well, it was an off panel. But
Oh, okay.
It was like just some goofy that, you know how they include like goofy panels
for characters
and stuff. Yeah, it was one of those.
Okay. So,
but
that's kind of cool.
I feel like that just defines that character. Like, yeah, I get it, even though you probably aren't gonna get it. But one day you're gonna get it. And then you got heart, like Monty from Captain Planet. He's a hero. That's gonna take pollution down to zero.
Cool.
Not in Kowloon though. It's too dirty over there.
But yeah. He's just where were we?
No, we were just talking about
the, yeah, just talking about general. Everything in general.
Because I do want to set up like.
Because we went on to really essentially Kowloon as a character.
Kowloon is probably the main character of the story.
I mean, it is.
It's many ways.
Because.
In many ways.
What supports that in my brain is that, remember that panel where she's. Okay, so his cuffs are dirty, right?
Yeah.
And the guy went to go get, like, he was like, I'm gonna go get something to eat. And Reiko, she just takes his jacket. I guess she's trying to, like, shake it outside on the balcony. But then the wind, there's a gust of wind that comes. And then it put, it didn't put the jacket on her head, but I guess, like, some of the scent, she smelled a little bit of it or something like that. Point is, it got on, like, more of her body, then she started, like, holding on to the jacket.
Yeah. That's it.
So it's stuff like that, like the gust of wind, the fact that Kowloon feels tight, the fact that like Kowloon has like these regular everyday food restaurants, huh? These restaurants.
Food restaurants.
Stalls.
What's the other kind of restaurant?
There's car restaurants. There's also these book restaurants.
Yeah, book restaurants, CD restaurants.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Whoa, CDs. Whoa.
Whoa. Yeah. I haven't heard that word in a while, huh?
Not at all.
Records.
A-tracks. Well, records is better.
There was Kudo. How'd you make Kudo?
Okay.
But yeah, it's definitely things like that that just makes this very interesting. Like, it's definitely not a generic romance. So don't let the title fool you.
I mean, I kind of thought that was going to be a misleading title anyway.
Yeah. Of course, Brian knows what happened later on, but I can imagine they get into some shit. I can see them getting into some shit. And that shit happens.
There's definitely some shit going on.
And love triumphing. Being triumphant.
I'm sorry. He's just so funny.
Okay.
That's just love the way. Just make you laugh whenever he talks.
I have no idea what just happened right now.
Oh, that tells me one thing. That's how we things get dark.
Oh, yeah. Not in the way you expect, but, like, guys, I really just encourage you all to keep read the manga. It's still ongoing.
Yeah. Yeah. There's plenty of places.
Let's just say the theme of us. Nostalgia can go in a lot of ways, and this manga series brings it together.
I have a question for you.
Okay.
Does someone turn into a Batman villain in the end? And what do I mean by that? Do they become obsessive? Do they become a hint of crazy? Are they worthy of a room in Arkham Asylum?
Well, I mean.
Check out Buying Blind as a Bad Guys.
Please do.
Like, share, subscribe.
Comment.
Yeah.
Shorty if possible.
Yeah.
Man. Well, I mean, of the characters that I haven't mentioned, there is a guy with a forked tongue and a dude with a mask.
Okay, forked tongue. And, is the dude with the forked tongue the same dude with the mask, or are those two separate people?
Two separate people.
Okay.
And so he forked-tongued the dude with the mask.
They actually did.
I'm sorry, what?
They did indeed. They did indeed fork each other's tongues.
What?
That's all I'm saying. Sorry. But okay. Yeah, like those two other characters. Them because he's probably the third main character here.
Okay. Is it the manager?
No, it's okay. The guy with the forked tongue, a.k.a. Miyuki Hebi. Hebi Numa Miyuki. Mm. He's sort of a doctor in Hong Kong. He's a celebrity doctor in Hong Kong. But he also opens up a practice in the walled city.
Okay.
And at first, basically, he's the guy who knows shit. He knows a lot of shit.
Like about the streets? About the people?
About Kowloon.
Kowloon, okay.
Is it just specifically, like, anything about Kowloon?
Basically everything about Kowloon.
Is that because he has a past with Kowloon, or is that because so many of Kowloon's people come through to get healed up?
He has a past with Kowloon.
Okay.
Remember.
I like that.
And yeah, he's pretty important to the story as well.
Okay.
But right now, it's like to Reiko, he's just and Najime, he's just the creepy doctor with the fork.
Okay.
Because he's one of those people who is attached to the nostalgic memories given by pain. Mm-hmm. So body modification, tattoos, or his thing.
Yeah.
There's a lot like that. I'm sure we all have a friend who's like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some people who really enjoy tattoos and whatnot. Like my sister enjoys tattoos.
I enjoy tattoos. I just don't have the funds to.
Yeah. Look how hairy my arms are, man.
Yeah, that's a lot to shave off for a tat.
Yeah, like I don't. Yeah, it's just like there's only certain parts, and really, is it worth it?
Yeah, and then
if you like them enough, then yeah.
And that's the thing. I just don't.
And you need a tattoo.
Yeah.
You would really, really want.
Exactly.
Like, really want.
The only one I can think of is my Florida area code on somewhere unassuming and easily miss.
Like, one of the few tattoos I wanted when I was a teenager. Because I wanted the Assassin's Creed symbol. But now I would hate that tattoo. I would still like it, but it's like I'm not a big fan of Assassin's Creed anymore.
Yeah.
So.
See, we're already talking nostalgic shit.
Yeah, exactly. Which is the whole thing.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, when you're talking about tattoos, I got one tattoo that I wanted since I was 8. Like, I literally designed this tattoo when I was 8.
Nice.
And, I wanted from, Vampire Masquerade, the Asimites had their symbol. I wanted their symbol tattooed on me. I forgot what it means in Arabic, though. So that's why I shied away from getting it. And then now it's just like, that's too long, though. I don't want that anymore.
Yeah, exactly. You tend not to want that. I know one tattoo I would not mind having right now, which I would probably still like in the future, is the back tattoo of the character Ryuji Goto in Yakuza 2.
Oh, yeah.
It's like a Yakuza tattoo, big yellow dragon, looks pretty badass.
Yeah, he probably sat down for that for hours.
Yeah, because if we're talking Yakuza, they got it done old school.
That was done in the traditional way.
By hand, with the special scalpel.
Yep. You actually meet the guy who designed it, and it is a whole system.
Yeah, but
I want to get one of those tattoos too.
For sure. But there we go. Nostalgia.
Yeah.
Back to it though. Basically basic office romance stuff budding between them while they also have little snippets of their daily lives.
Okay.
Mostly Reiko's though, because she is the main character. I suppose it's just her doing a lot of those little things that you expect an active woman like her to do. Eventually something and you start to come under fruition, things get discovered, you also see bits and pieces of things.
Okay.
And there's a lot of weird things, like there's this magic giant floating thing that looks like Romuald from Neon Genesis.
Yeah. It's ominous.
And it's just floating up in the air. That I think they never even really specify what it was about.
It was not yet.
Like, even throughout the whole thing, it's like, like, is it a scam? Is it?
Because it's a constant presence in the sky.
Yeah, it's just in the sky. It's something about.
Okay, that's weird.
Yeah. It's something about bringing. It's something about... God, I don't even remember.
I mean, it's... I just wrote it off as this being the future. So you're going to see weird stuff.
Yeah, like it's just like this weird ultimate time where you see this thing that's all about... Has to do with, like, putting you in your own... With being in your own fantasy all the time or something like that. But in all honesty, it was so vague. And when you come to understand everything, I think at the end of the day, it's just one big joke. And there's just a lot of other weird stuff that's going on back on. So many weird things are going on. And then as all this big mystery is starting to unravel around Reiko and everyone she meets and everyone she knows, it gets darker and darker and weirder. And then you keep seeing the little bits and pieces throughout the manga. And then eventually when it gets to where I'm at, everything is right where it's all starting to come together. And then they just leave it on that cliffhanger. So now I gotta wait for chapter 60.
Okay. And like, what's the lag time between each chapter? It's like a once a month thing?
Every couple of months.
Okay.
And now and again, I think it's trying to slowly progress over the course of a couple of years.
Okay. Yeah, so this one just started like 2020, right?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, recently.
Very recent, and it's been going and going. It's definitely been getting good reviews from people who read it.
I mean, I can see why.
Like, I would strongly suggest that, but
yeah, I could definitely see why. Because like I said, the art.
Any other questions, Thomas?
I don't have any questions. What I'm thinking of that it is right now is more of a supernatural tale where Reiko is probably some spirit who's stuck there, and flip that, the guy is a spirit who's stuck there, and she moved there to, I guess, live, and she tries new stuff. He's stuck in his old ways.
I would say, you can correct me if I'm wrong, a lot of people are stuck in their old ways.
So it could just be like, well, did he move to Kualoon from somewhere else, or was he a native?
He had been there the longest. He'd been there longer than her.
Okay.
Or, yes. Yes.
Okay, yeah. I'm thinking it's some sort of situation where she went to some place. They're all there. They've always been there. And by always been there, I mean always been there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm thinking it's some sort of supernatural thing that's going to be happening, or extra dimensional thing.
That's why I like you, Thomas. Great minds think alike. But it's actually a lot cooler than that.
Alright, well, I mean, I'm pretty sure there's probably going to be some sort of sci-fi thing that's going to be embedded in it somehow.
Yeah.
I'm also thinking not like a power system is going to be developed, but
no.
Something is going to be where it's like, this isn't real life. Although it starts off feeling more, this is just another day in the neighborhood.
Yeah. I think it's like multi-dimensional.
Yeah.
And there's like a reason why. Like the first twist, I think it's the reason why.
You saw that part?
Yeah, I heard about that part. I didn't see it.
I have no idea.
I mean, can I say it?
Yeah.
Should I say it? Okay. So,
quick spoiler warning.
Don't want to hear it. Fast forward like maybe a couple of minutes.
Let's give them 2 minutes starting now.
Yeah. So you find out that Reika or Keiji dated a girl that looks exactly like Reika. Hajime.
Okay.
So that's why, and there's like little bits and hints of it leading up to the revelation. They're like, oh, she's similar to a girl I used to date. Like, there was a bowler that pointed, not a bowler, there was a waiter that pointed that out. Mm-hmm. You know, like, oh yeah, it's good that you and your girlfriend's here. Da 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 da.
Yep.
And she's like, you're not gonna correct it? And he's like, whatever. Da 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 da. So being like, you know, being himself about it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, just being him.
Yeah.
And just, oh, man, that's.
And she and the girl that he used to date also like watermelon and cigarettes.
And they also looked exactly like each other.
Exactly like each other. And we even worked at the same place. Doing the same things, right?
So. How nostalgic.
Yeah.
This reminds me of the clone Tyrone.
Check that podcast out.
You guys definitely gotta check that one out. Please check that movie out.
Yes.
Yeah. But yeah. It's really reminding me of that right now. I'm not sure if it is going to turn out like that, but it's reminding me.
It does have the similarities or not. Well, you're not lost in the similarities.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's so much going on.
You're dealing with Calhoun in the 21st century.
Yes.
Yeah.
Why does that exist?
I know.
That was going to be actually one of the bigger questions, and I'm pretty sure that that's going to be answered in the manga later on down the line.
It's low-key the Soul Society.
It's
I can see that.
I will say, if you get far up enough in what's currently out, that the question will be low-key answered.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, it sounds like it's going to be very interesting after the first volume.
Very.
And then, yeah, it's just getting into it is going to be the roughest part. So,
yeah,
have patience, really.
Yeah, I mean, it's a slow burn, but once it gets, you know, with all good slow burn stories, once it gets started.
It is a good slow burn story.
Yeah.
And, like, I can't wait for more.
I felt it. I feel the slow burn. I see the hints.
Right.
You know, something's not right here, but something is right here. Or is it?
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
That's literally it.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's just so much going on, and it's all slowly progresses, mixed with a lot of other little tidbits of everyone's everyday lives and the things that are going on.
Okay.
We get to see the little quirks that all of them have. So the characters are very much involved in this too, as much as Calhoun is, because as Zach said, Calhoun is very much a character in this.
He is such a character. And I know I keep gushing over the art, but it's the art, man. It's
the art. That's what draws everyone in.
It's the
art. The art didn't draw me in. When I saw it, I was like, okay, it looks really, really good, but it's not something that drew me in like that.
Like the detail, like the what, especially certain panels with Reiko and how she looks.
Right, like there's only a handful of old mangas that draw me in with art of that caliber. Like I would compare it to Aria. If any of you saw the manga for that, like the anime did not do
it didn't
the original works justice, like comparatively, like every fucking detail in the manga, down to every little leaf falling.
I mean, it's hard to beat like a nice two page, like a nice splash page.
Exactly,
it's hard to beat that.
Yeah, but I would say Miyazaki Yuki-sensei is definitely.
She did kill it.
Definitely.
And it probably looks that pretty because, again, it's a romance story.
Yes, it is it is still considered a shoujo manga, so it does have that shoujo-esque appeal to it.
Yeah.
Very girly, sparkly style.
That's what it is.
But at the same time, it's also a bit more refined.
It is.
And that there are certain good scenes.
Because you see that a lot, again.
Outside, especially the darker scenes are done really well.
Okay.
And some of the more serious ones. But then you also have those typical fun, ungiggly, bubbly moments.
Yep.
Or those random girl power moments.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
So, I would call it a very mature shoujo manga / thriller.
I agree. I'm really interested in the thriller part. But I haven't gotten there yet myself.
Yeah.
And I know I'm not usually someone who goes and reads shoujo, so...
Yeah, me neither.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's a pretty interesting pick for me today. Yeah. That was pretty much all I have on it without spoiling it.
Yeah.
I actually checked out a couple of reviews to see what was it's kind of like, and those reviews were all, like, 8 minutes long.
I mean, to be honest... You probably found the same ones I found.
Probably.
It's only literally...
It was like, what, three or four?
One of which was a short, so...
Yeah. I didn't even watch the short. Yeah. I watched the other three and was like, these are all the same time length and said the exact same thing.
Shout out to that one guy's dog.
Yeah. That was a cute dog.
Right.
That was his brother's dog.
Yeah,
brother's
dog. Yeah.
Yeah.
Were they all positive? Or?
Oh, they were positive.
They were all positive. All very positive about all it. So,
because everyone I've seen has been really positive.
Yeah. Like, it's not bad. Like, it definitely captures you in. Like, I know a lot of people don't like slow burn. And that I understand.
It's either the art that's going to captivate you, the characters that are going to captivate you, or really just, again, that feeling that it all nostalgia. Gives you, the nostalgia.
Yeah. Or even like,
or at least it'll hook you in. Or even
you know what? I did get something else when I looked at the couple of chapters that I did. It felt like noir a little bit, if you remember that anime.
Noir, huh?
Yeah. Just a little bit, just in like...
I was going to say, I didn't feel that. I didn't feel noir vibes.
I only felt it with just how a lot of the shots were set up. There was a lot of establishing shots and just like shots of like a hall, a doorway, or
yes.
There's this gate that is on a... that's blocking off a walkway, or here's a balcony.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. That's how it
okay,
kind of reminded
that,
me of
that
noir.
Makes sense.
Yeah, I mean... That definitely makes sense. And it's those shots, which is the reason why I say Kellen's a character.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
So, okay. Guys.
Yeah, I mean.
Any other closing comments?
No, I'm good. I mean, Kellen's generic. Blah, blah, blah. Okay, sorry.
Kellen.
Words are hard, everybody.
Yes, they are.
Very difficult. The English language is one of the hardest languages to learn.
I agree.
No shit. No bullshit, actually.
It's not right. Not wrong at all. It
no.
is a proven fact.
Yeah.
Yes.
Take this from someone who was studying to be a linguist. It is proven fact.
Yes.
It is one of the hardest languages on this planet to learn. Korean and I believe Russian are harder.
Yeah, I talked to English as a second language teacher.
Mm-hmm.
She was like, yeah, it's the hardest one. People struggle.
Yeah.
People are, it's a struggle. But anyway. Kowloon, check it out. It's good. It's great. I do want to continue my journey.
I strongly suggest you do, guys. Be sure to check it out. And if possible, purchase a copy.
Yeah, promote that or support the artists.
Support them, please.
Yes, yes.
As I intend to.
Indeed.
So, all right. Anyway, promise. So, with that... Thank you guys all for listening once again to the Night Shift Bandits. We are punching out so you all can punch in. We hope you all enjoy your good day shifts, night shifts, or wherever shifts if you're having where you are. Be sure to like, share, subscribe, and of course, but never expected to donate. This is once again being the Night Shift Bandits. Thank you for listening. Good night.
Good night.
Night, y'all. Bye-bye.